Greetings, friends, and welcome to this broadcast of Bible Studies. Ken Baird, your speaker. Today in the broadcast, we will continue with our subject that we're studying at the present time, this series, Seven Things in the Scriptures That Are Better Than Sacrifice. And we wish to consider the subject today, Thanksgiving is Better Than Sacrifice. We read in Psalm 69, verses 30 and 31, these words, I will praise the name of God with a song, and will magnify him with thanksgiving. This also shall please the Lord better than an ox or a bullock that hath horns and hoofs. The ox and the bullock, of course, given in sacrifice. And we will see this principle reiterated in other scriptures that we will consider on the broadcast today. Now we wish to, as in our last broadcast, we wish to divide our subject matter today up under the heading, three headings today. First of all, thanksgiving is a product of the heart. Number two, thanksgiving acknowledges my own insufficiency. Number three, thanksgiving acknowledges God's all-sufficiency. Thanksgiving is a wonderful thing. We read in the 50th Psalm there of how the Lord took his people to task because they were bringing their sacrifices by rote. I can't think we could spend better time than just to turn to the 50th Psalm. If you have your Bibles near at hand, it will be a profit, I'm sure, to read with us. Psalm 50, verses 7 to 13. He says there, Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and will testify against thee. I am the Lord, even thy God. This is a judgment scene. We read in verses 5 and 6 preceding verse 7. Verse 5, Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me, my sacrifice, I want them gathered. This is a divine subpoena, really. And then verse 6, And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. And then verse 7, Hear, O my people, I will speak, O Israel, and will testify against thee, I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices, or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thy house. And I might have started that verse with the word, however. I'm going to do that. And it's not doing injustice to the text either. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or burnt offerings to have been continually before me. However, I will take no bullock out of thy house, nor he-goats out of thy folds. Now listen to his language, please. He becomes sarcastic. For every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountains, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. Will I eat the flesh of bulls and goats and drink the blood of flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? I'll read that verse again. Will I eat the flesh of bulls and drink the blood of goats? Why are you bringing these sacrifices? Did you think I was hungry? Can you see the sarcasm in all of this? Why were the sacrifices wrong? The sacrifices weren't wrong. It was their attitude. They were bringing them in a perfunctory manner. They were bringing them by rote. Yes, they were on the religious treadmill. You know, it's a terrible thing to be on the religious treadmill, trying to please God by something we do. I was on that religious treadmill for years before God saved my precious soul. I was doing a lot of walking. I was doing a lot of activity. But I was not gaining any headway. It was all to no avail. I must come to God not by reason of what I do, not a reason of what I am, but except that I'm a sinner, but I come to him for what he can give me in Christ when I put my faith in the one who hung on that cross and shed his precious blood to take away my sins. There is a verse in the scripture that says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. That was true in the Old Testament, and it's true in the New. But in the Old Testament, the blood of bulls and goats were sacrificed. Were they efficacious to put away sin? No. Paul tells us that in the book of Hebrews. The blood of bulls and goats can never take away sins, he tells us. Why were they offered? They were pictures of the Lord Jesus Christ. They were types, figures, shadows, pictures. You know, there is an old saying, coming events cast their shadows before. In the Old Testament, we have the new concealed. But in the New Testament, we have the old revealed. Now, Christ is the sacrifice of the New Testament. They all pointed forward to Christ, and Christ is my Lamb. He died for me. I brought him to God, so to speak, by faith, and said, Lord, or Father, rather, this one, my Lord, of course, the Lord Jesus Christ, died for me on the cross, and this is my only claim upon you. This is the only right I have to be in your presence. And he indeed will listen to you when you say that, because he likes to see Christ magnified and glorified. He died that we might live. Now let's go on in that 50th Psalm. I really didn't get to the crowning climactic verse. He says there, will I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats? Offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High, and call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Are you in soul trouble? Do you know you're saved? Are you worried about it? Listen to this verse. Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me, and I glorify Christ, because he died for me on that cross. Yes, sacrifice, as good as it can be, is done by rote, without a thought, for God avails nothing. Now, thanksgiving, in its very essence, thanksgiving makes me acknowledge my own sufficiency. You know, thanksgiving is a product of the heart. You cannot be thankful without involving your heart. Your innermost feelings, which we are saying, using this biblical manner of dealing with it, it's a matter of the heart. Now he says here, offer unto God thanksgiving, and pay thy vows unto the Most High. Call upon me in the day of trouble. Now he just said, there's nothing wrong with the sacrifices, but they were bringing them with a wrong intent. And when we try to please God by religious rites and sacrifices, so to speak, we've missed the mark. We must accept Christ and be thankful that he died on that cross for us. Now, thanksgiving, acknowledge my own insufficiency. The natural man, unregenerated and unredeemed, takes pride in his own accomplishments, don't we? I do. Let me also do a good job. I'm rather proud of it. But you know that doesn't pass with God. Pride and thankfulness are mutually incompatible. They don't agree. I can't be proud and be thankful at the same time. Pride is really a rebellion against God. It's focusing attention upon myself. When I'm proud, I'm proud of myself. But when I look to Christ, I realize nothing I can do would save my own soul. And so thanksgiving acknowledges my own insufficiency. But thanksgiving at the same time acknowledges God's all-sufficiency. The focus of attention is upon God instead of upon ourselves. And that's exactly what faith will do. Faith will focus our attention upon God, not upon ourselves. God is free to bless us out of the goodness of his own heart, because God is love. We read in 1 John chapter 4, verses 7-10. Listen to these words, if you please. And follow us in your scriptures, in the scriptures, if you have your Bible near at hand. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth God, or loveth rather, is born of God, and knoweth God. He that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his own begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Let's not miss that. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and gave his Son to be a propitiation for our sins, for a propitiatory sacrifice for our sins. This is the result of God's love. This focuses our attention upon him and upon and away from my own doings. As the poet has said, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked flee to thee for dress, hopeless flee to thee for grace. And that's exactly what our sins will do. If we will allow them to do it, they'll drive us to the Lord. We can't put them away. And ritual, rites, and the observance of these things, as we learned there in Psalm 50, they just cannot fill the bill. There was nothing wrong with the sacrifices. Their attitude was wrong. And you know, our attitude can nullify the sacrifice of Christ if we don't accept it. Now, that is a solemn thought. Let's come with the right attitude, with the right sacrifice, and then we shall find acceptance with God. The acceptance that he's planned, that he's provided for you and for me, out of the love of his heart. I think these thoughts are grand when we realize who God is and what he's done for you and for me. I think we should stop up short and realize, is there anything in me that deserves this? No. But God wants us. He wants us in his presence. He wants our praise. He wants our worship. And when we see these things, we'll live a life for Christ, not to earn our salvation, but just to show our appreciation of the fact that he loved us and died on that cross to take away our sins. Our Father, today, we thank you for the Lord Jesus. We thank you for the grand truths of salvation. May they have an effect in our lives, that we might live for you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.